Shaken, we will not be torn down. We will stand in your presence, Lord. We will stand in your presence. You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth. Yes, Lord. Let's put our hands together. Let's clap to the Lord. We worship you, Lord. It's not like you.
Blessed is your name, Jesus. We love you, O God. Hallelujah. You make us one. You make us your body. You make us your church, O God. You make us your family, O God. And we will be with you on that day, O God, that we can look so forward to whenever we are all in your hands, O God, around your table, Almighty God, eating with you and everybody else that is in your family, O God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just give you our lives, we give you our hearts, O God. We surrender to you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
This is your church.
Thank you, Lord.
If I can just speak a word that I've been wrestling with as I work on my master's degree in Christian leadership, which is really just a master's degree in pastoral leadership. And looking at all these large churches and trying to see what they're doing and what's working for them. And most of them are focused on the attention of others, just trying to get the attention of others. They call it a seeker-friendly church. And my wife and I, we debate back and forth, you know, what's the primary purpose of Sunday morning? You know, we can be a large and growing church if we focus on being an attractive church. But the Lord informed me today, he said, be the church. He said, be the church. Don't come here without Christ. Amen. Be the church. Worship God as the church. Amen. Because without Christ, who are we? Nothing without Christ. Okay, now, on another note, if we can transition from that thought, Sunday school starts next week. September 18th, 9 o'clock, we'll be meeting in the sunroom or in the great room, and there will be three classes that branch out from there, and you've heard so far from Lee Holland. He'll be teaching the worship class, and then you heard from Brother Garcia, who's going to be co-leading the learning how to study the Bible class, and basics to Bible study, and then we also have a third one, which really correlates, it really resonates with my heart. And I'll tell you this, if you don't already know, my favorite Bible story is in Acts chapter 8 when Philip is instructed by the Holy Spirit to go alongside a road. He doesn't know why, but the Holy Spirit tells him to go do it. And he does it. And that's the reason why it's my favorite Bible story, is because that's what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ. Get to that point where we can hear God's voice and simply obey it. And you know what the result of that is? The eunuch got saved. The eunuch got baptized. Philip was the church. So, I would like Nikki Baker to come forward. She's going to introduce her class, what she's teaching, and hopefully it involves something along the lines of being the church. Amen.
I heard you. No, I'm thinking. Can you hear me? I gotta have this thing. Yes, please. All right. I want you folks to take your two hands. Put everything down, your drinks. Yeah, that's right, Eric. Your drinks. Put your hands down. And I want you to do this. Make two little circles. Then I want you to join that two circles together. All right. Then I want you to move it in a bigger circle. All right. You just signed relationship. You have to take two people. You have to take God and yourself and join together and walk together in a relationship. Philip heard God because he had a relationship with God. True? True? I don't hear you. True? Thank you. Okay. And that's what we're going to be doing, is we're going to be talking about developing, encouraging families. Isn't it wonderful when they get really little, when you can introduce them to hearing God's voice? I was very little when I started talking to God. I would take my inner tube. I grew up in Hawaii, so we had inner tubes all over the place. I took an inner tube, put it on our front lawn, laid there and looked up in the sky and talked to Jesus because my Sunday school teacher said he wanted to hear from me. When I was in 7th grade and 11, I realized it wasn't always about me. It was about other people too. And that's when I really started hearing God at 11. And it made a big difference in my life. So what we're going to be doing as a family is coming together, and together as a family, we're going to be teaching each other, because you learn a lot from your kids, don't you? I did, all right? They're together, you're going to be hearing about how to hear God. What's stopping you? What's blocking you from hearing him? And we're going to use sign language as a way of helping you understand concepts, kind of fun thing to do. It's also great language to learn because, you know, today we use everything else but looking eye to eye with another person. Isn't that true? A lot of times when I'm talking to someone, they're texting or their eyes are every which way. When God wants to talk to you, he wants your full attention. And learning signs, you got to look at the other person or you're not going to be able to read each other. So it's a fun thing to do. It's an encouraging thing. It's a thing that you can do with your children. And if you don't have kids and you still want to come, come. I can sign with you. You see me in the corner over there. I can't sing, but I can sign. And that's my way to worship the Lord. And it's my way to communicate with God too. You'll be amazed. God talks to you, but to my deaf friends, he signs to them. Isn't that amazing? So come. Oh, by the way, I've been told Sunday school is just a short kind of giving you an idea of what we do on Tuesday nights. If you want to get down deep, really deep into knowing what's going on, Tuesday nights, we just started, is time when you can come, and for 2 hours we can talk about what's your barriers, who you are as a person, and how God loves you so much. He wants a what? What is this? Relationship with you. I don't have a religion. You
have a religion? I don't have a religion.
I have a relationship. You too.
Amen. I love Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
And that's where church comes in. You see, I have a relationship with God, and I have a relationship with Daniel, and I have a relationship with a lot of you because you let me talk into your life, and I can hear you when you're talking to me. I don't get a relationship with you unless you speak to me. So that's what we have as a church body. Amen?
Amen. All right, God is good. It seems a little lopsided, lighter on this side. Anyway, we're still all one body. Amen? Amen. All right, so at this time, I would just like to invite all the children to come forward. In reference to Nikki's class at Sunday school, please join us. There's going to be some great, wonderful sessions. And also, Brandon, can you stand up too? I know I'm just calling you out here. Can you like stand? Come on, man. All right, this is Brandon Nickish. If you haven't met him, he's also co-leading the Basics to Bible Study course. And I'm telling you, Brandon loves studying the Bible. And he's got some great pointers too. He's a wonderful brother in the Lord. So please, you know, check in next Sunday, 9 o'clock downstairs. Just check it out. See if it's something that you want to commit to. It's only going to be for 8 weeks. Okay. So without further ado, Let's go ahead and pray over our wonderful blessings before we release them downstairs. You guys ready? Oh, wait. Are you guys ready?
Yeah!
One more time. It was this side. Are you guys ready? Okay, we're not going to do that again for your sanity. Sorry. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all the many blessings that you have given us. And we just lift them up to you, oh God. May your Holy Spirit lead them into a faithful relationship with you as they learn to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
I'd like to welcome everybody, and especially the newest member of our congregation. Pastor Jay, you need to introduce somebody special.
Sorry, I meant to do this last week, but he was hungry, so. Katie, can you bring him up here?
All right.
Seth, come here. This is Benjamin Isaac Patterson.
Woo!
Ben was born on August the 4th at 8:12 in the morning, and he was 7 pounds, 6 ounces, 20 and 1 half inches long, something like that. I think those are the details about 5 weeks ago now. But he's a good guy, and he's just a real sweet little boy. And Katie and I are very thankful and grateful to all of you who have been praying for us through this whole pregnancy. As many of you know, they've been challenging for us, and so we just really thank you for your prayers, and this is a win and a victory for all of us. So thank you so much. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. I want to take a special time to thank those of you, or to welcome those of you who are here for the very first time. I know we have a few first-time guests. When you came in, you got a packet of material about our church. Please fill out the visitor card and put it in the offering. Excuse me. And then at the end of the service, we have a reception for you where you can spend some time with Pastor Jay. It'll be right by the front door in our hospitality room. I hope you can stick around just a few minutes at the end of the service. Just a few things we want to bring to your attention. We've got some very special classes that are coming up. Keith, where are you, my friend? Come on up, buddy.
Most of you know me. My name is Keith. If you don't, hello. I'm going to be teaching facilitating the Financial Peace University class for 9 weeks. We're going to be getting that on September 25th. It's going to be right after church, so it's going to be down in the sunroom. Wanted to do it after church because it's got everybody here, and I want to be able to spend that time with everybody in the presence of the Lord and really focus on getting our money right. It's a very special class. It has a lot of positive aspects that can help each and every one of us. It's going to the program costs $100 for the text, and that's going to give you the book, and it's going to give you some forms, and it's going to give you computer access. You're going to be able to get on there and watch some videos and download some things, and it's a really, really nice resource. So it's about $100. You can see me after church. I'm going to be out by the bulletin to answer any questions you might have, and you can write me a check or write a check to our Father's house, and I will make sure that it gets there, I promise. Or you can give it to Tim, or you can go online and purchase it, different ways of doing it. But right now, I'd like to welcome Darius and Jasmine Hyman. They have a great testimony for you.
All right.
And please welcome them up now.
Hello, everyone. We went through Financial Peace, and it was not brand new material to us. More new to me than my wife. She had been following Dave Ramsey for quite a while, doing his podcast, and he got the Total Money Makeover book. and she encouraged me to come to the class so that we could get on the same page. Because some of the things that we were doing financially that was working, it was such a challenge for me to change my behavior and my mindset, and just to get us to work together. The class put us on a baseline to understand and to communicate, and would help you communicate with anyone for accountability and your behavior and your mindset about how to deal with your finances. It was a wonderful class for us to teach our kids and for us to grow a legacy to pass on for our own kids. A personal testimony, following the principles and the things that we've learned. I'm a personal trainer, and you know, I wanted to open up a gym, and I was able to get a 0% interest-free loan, business loan, and was able to pay that off in 3 months. Well, it was a supernatural blessing that it was done, but it was just the change of the mindset and you being a vessel for God to use you in your living and in your giving and in your tithing, and it just totally changes everything. So we were very blessed by this class, and I would encourage anyone, regardless of your financial situation, whether you feel like you're in a good place or not so good place, you know, this is a great place to start. So thank you very much. All right.
Woo! Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Darius. I will be sitting in the lobby right next to the poster in the back alcove. So if you have any questions at all, please come see me.
And if your financial situation is so desperate, you do not have the $100, we have funds available to give you a scholarship, a partial scholarship that can be most of it. So please talk to me at the office, and we want you to be set free financially so you can serve God's purposes in your life, your family, and create a destiny. Plugged In class is coming up next Sunday right after service, up in Pastor Lanny's office. That's for those of you who are new to the church, you want to know more about us, how to get plugged in, what things that we believe in, what are we doing, where we're going. We'd love to have you. It's 4 weeks right after Sunday service. Please come and join us after church next Sunday. And finally, Pastor Lanny, as many of you know, is in Cuba right now with Alexia and Pedro Molina, and he is an apostle to the nations. And he spent the last, well, he's right in the middle. He's got one more week. He'll be back this upcoming weekend. But he is spreading the good news and doing a tremendous work. So we're going to pray for him right now. Father, I just come before you. We all come before you. And we lift up our pastor. And we are so thankful that we have an apostle of the living God shepherding this church and going forth to the nations, just as Paul did, establishing the church, strengthening the church, challenging the brothers and the pastors to be strong and steadfast. And we just pray a blessing over him, that you'd give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You would enlighten the eyes of his understanding, that he would know the hope of your calling, the riches of your inheritance in the saints, in the exceeding greatness of your power. May it be at work in him, and in the ministry that he has applied himself to, that you would protect him from harm, from evil, from temptation, from the wicked, from the communist authorities who want to destroy every vestige of light in that nation. We come against that, the gates of hell and the spirit of darkness that has ruled over that nation for so long. And we pray that you would do your work and set the people free. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay. On that note, we're going to honor the Lord with tithes and offerings. You know, scriptures. Yes, Tina. Who? We introduced the Davis family when you weren't around. That was a couple weeks ago. And who else? McCumber? I believe the McCumbers did too. Yeah, sorry, Tina. Thank you anyway. That's okay. I'm not here every Sunday either. Okay. Guys, come on up. We're going to pray a blessing. Scripture says, whoever has this world's goods and shuts up his heart against his brother who he sees in need, the love of God is not in him. Let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. So, Father, we come before you as we offer up the resources that you've put in our hands, that we might help those who are in need, whether they are in our congregation, in our community, in Cuba, Ukraine, Kenya, wherever you have called us to go and however you have called us to make a difference. We offer these funds to you that you would increase the seed that we are sowing and you would multiply the fruits of our righteousness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Tim. Well, good morning. I think I'm probably the third or fourth person to say good morning to you today. Today's actually an Encounter Sunday for those of you that weren't aware of it. Usually we do it the first Sunday of the month, but we got a special day today. Today is September 11th. In case it missed you, today is September 11th, and this isn't just any September 11th. It's 15 years today since we had the attacks on our country. Right now, this time, 15 years ago, major events were unfolding that many of us remember. Some of us here might not even been alive then, but most of us were. Right now is that same time that that day was taking shape, and we were all just trying to wrap our head and our heart and our emotions around what was taking place. This morning, while many of us were still getting ready to come, our worship team was here preparing this place for us. And thanks, by the way, to the worship team. You guys, holy moly. There is such a thick presence of the Lord up here this morning. It is just, it's palpable. And it's intimate, and it's strong. I'm so thankful for it. So thank you for how you all have ministered today. It's been wonderful. While they were practicing and warming up today, 15 years ago, planes were hitting their targets. At 8:46 a.m. Eastern Time, the first plane hit the North Tower. 17 minutes later, at 9:03, a plane hit the second tower. And while all of us were trying to figure out what was going on, recognizing that this is not just somebody who missed, fell asleep, and whatnot, recognize that this is an attack on our country. A little over half an hour later, at 9:37, the third plane hit the western face of the Pentagon. Do you remember where you were? I didn't live here on the west or the east coast back then. I was on the west coast. And my dad called to wake me up in my dorm room to tell me to turn on the TV. Some of you were here on the East Coast, and it was playing out in real time while you were awake. It doesn't matter where you were, you remember where you were when that happened. At 9:59 a.m., the second tower to be hit, the South Tower, fell. Can you remember this feeling of dread, recognizing that there were people that were just being crushed in that whole thing? Clouds of smoke going through the street. By 10:28, the North Tower fell. We all knew it was coming. There was heartbreak throughout this nation and heartbreak throughout the world. And everything has changed since that time. Do you remember when you used to be able to just walk people up to the gate at the airport, kiss them goodbye as they walked down to get on the plane? That all changed. None of us have done that for 15 years now. I'd like us to take a moment of silence to just remember what took place there and to honor the lives of those who lost their life there on that day. by show of hands, is there anyone here today who lost somebody in that situation, personally lost them? That's a very significant loss. Father, right now, we just open our hearts to you. Lord, that was a traumatic experience for all of us and many across this nation, across the world. Lord, I ask that you'd come and minister to our hearts today as we're going back in our memories and remembering what took place there, Lord. I ask that you would enter into that memory right now, Lord, and begin to bring a deeper healing, Lord, that we've not been able to receive before. I pray for all those who lost a loved one that day, Lord. I ask that you minister to them today, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for who you are. You're the healer, the great physician. We welcome you into this moment right now. Hallelujah. We have an excellent opportunity today. We are going to do, in this encounter service, we're doing a prayer service. We're going to get some really cool instruction today before we enter into that prayer time. And I'm very, very excited about how the Lord has lined this up. Today is a significant day for our country, and we're going to be praying for our nation. So much has happened since 9/11, 15 years ago. Many of us have spent our careers in wars, in supporting wars, and battles that have taken place as a fallout from that entire situation, and still reverberating. You know, we think about this time, and we can recognize the loss, and we can recognize the pain. I tell you this morning, the Spirit of God is here today in victory. He is here today in victory. So, without further ado, I'm going to welcome up an excellent teacher, a woman of God, a personal friend, and someone we all love and respect. Molly Frink is going to come and teach us today about prayer. I cannot wait for you to get to see her, what she has to say. So please rise and welcome her. Thank you.
I have a feeling I'm not going to do half of what's here. Because, yes, thank you. I am a teacher, and I'm usually very prepared, and I am very prepared, but I'm completely undone by what's been going on here this morning. I didn't expect it to be like this. Because I have my slides in order, you know, I know what I'm doing. And I am just a servant of God. So I'm going to do some of the things I plan to do, but I have about a half an hour extra work that you're not going to get today. We're going to begin differently, so I'm going to need slide 12 first. We're going to spend the last 15 or 20 minutes on praying about the mountains of culture, and you see them listed up there. We need to pray for our nation. And these are seven mountains of culture that identify how a nation is formed, how a culture exists. And so we're going to be praying in areas of family, marketplace, government, education, arts, entertainment, and sports. That's a really big lump. And then religion and media. And I'm going to have seven different people from our congregation praying in those areas. That's going to be at the end of the service. And last Sunday when I was here, I knew that. And so we're singing, and Brandon's leading the song. Was it you, Brandon? Did you lead last Sunday? Oh, it was Pete. It was Pete. Okay, I can hear the song. He sang the song that says, "Savior, you can move the mountains." And I knew that that was the right song for this, because we can pray about mountains, and the Lord said that they would move. But it's the Savior who moves them. So we're going to go back to worship just to sing that song, and then we're going to release the worship team, and I'm going to teach you a few things about prayer that I've learned, and then we're going to pray. So let's sing, "Savior, You Can Move the Mountains."
Spirit. I walked in this morning and I have no voice. And I've used my voice more today than I have in ages. Thank you, Lord.
Just one other little note from this morning. For the last 24 hours, I've had this song, No Longer Slaves, running in my head. And this morning, I decided to listen to it on the way to church with no idea what he was going to present. The Holy Spirit prepares the ground for what he's doing on any given day. He's been in charge of this whole thing. A long time.
I find that exceedingly scary. So I'll just rely on my notes. I am teaching from a book that Pastor Lenny recommended 2 weeks ago. He also recommended it 8 years ago. And when Lenny says, this book changed my life at this point in his life, I read it. So that's what he said 8 years ago. He said, this book changed his life. So I bought it. I read it. I did a whole series of soap books on it. It's Richard Foster, Prayer, Finding a Heart's True Home. There are 21 chapters representing 21 kinds of prayer. I'm bringing you two of them today. I chose the two because they are the most extreme. They're very different from each other. The first one, well, I'm going to show you an art example. So if I can have the first slide. I'm going to show you an art example of how I see prayer, how I see these extremes in prayer. This is God the Father, painted by Michelangelo on the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And it's a masterpiece, right? It represents tremendous skill and work, artistry, the heart of the artist. I mean, you can see that it's glorious. It's a wonderful painting. So it's called a masterpiece. Okay, look at the next artist, new artist. This is Anna Maria Macomber. Anna Sophia Macomber. And her artwork is slightly more spontaneous, perhaps immature. It's on cardboard, you know? It's, she made it in the moment. She painted a whole garden of flowers in the backyard of her yellow playhouse. So we're going to ask the father, who happens to be Casey Macomber, what do you think about this artwork, Casey? Which one do you like better? You really do? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it might too. But I chose Casey to do that because he is the Father, and our Father sees us that way, okay? You might be polished. You might be really good at writing prayers, and you might have eloquent language. You might be, you know, one of those holy saints. But you might be a brand new Christian with I don't know what to say, you know, I'll just talk to God. and everything's okay, right? God the Father loves us. He loves us where we are. We've heard that several times already today. I think that's kind of a byword here, that whoever you are, come to the Lord. So I'm looking at these two pictures, thinking of a simple prayer that is represented by Anna, and eloquent, magnificent, time-honored prayer that we might find in the scripture or in the writings of great saints or whatever. And those two prayers in Foster's book are called simple and sacramental. Sacramental would include like all the liturgical prayers, all the fancy stuff that, you know, that we kind of, in our church, we kind of think of that as religion. You know, we kind of look down on that. But there are people out there who look down at what we're doing too and think that we're just too emotional. We think that we're the center of the universe, that prayer is about us and our needs, and we get carried away in emotion. So there's a kind of division there that ought not to be there, because it's not prayer, simple prayer or sacramental prayer, it's and. Like, those are legitimate kinds of prayer. And so we're going to talk briefly about simple prayer, but probably more about the other kind, because that's the kind we don't do so much. Okay. So simple prayer is what Pastor Lane was talking to you about 2 weeks ago, where you just come to God as you are, and you lay before him your life, and you tell him what you need, what you want, how much you love him. You know, it's the kind of prayer that we were singing about this morning that says, I want to just lie back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. Okay. My mother would not be comfortable with that song. Okay, she's a liturgical person. She prays the rosary, right? She doesn't get that. Okay. So I brought my rosary. I was a good little Catholic girl. Got my rosary, keeping it. It's a sacramental thing. It's a real thing. I could pray it. I could pray the Apostles' Creed on the first one. I could pray the Lord's Prayer, then 3 Hail Marys and another Our Father, then 10 Hail Marys, another Our Father. You just go around and you just pray and pray and pray. And people would say, that's vain repetition. That doesn't cut it. That's not prayer. That's just repetition. Not to Mom. She leads a little group of women in prayer every Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. She's 90 years old. She leads these women in prayer. I am not judging that prayer. Okay? She's been doing this for 85 years. Okay? To her, it's humble. It's obedient. It's a holy place with the Lord. Okay? Take it as you will. You know, I'm keeping my rosary, but I'm not praying it. Okay? A little dichotomy there. Is that okay with you? Okay. All right. I'm way off track, which is okay. So, simple prayer. Jesus prayed simple prayer. When the disciples said, teach us to pray, he said, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. You want to say that? Okay. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Can you see that? That might be a vain repetition, but we all know it. It brings us together. And it brings us together with the saints from all time. One time Bonnie Chavita was here, and she taught us that when we speak what the saints are speaking, or even what our early founding fathers are speaking, we're speaking with them, because there's no time and space for God. So our voices are joining their voices. So when we join with the voices of saints from the past, we're like one grand chorus, okay? So don't think of those as vain repetitions. In fact, let's go to Jacob. Where's Jacob? Ah, there he is. Let's go to this. I'm really jumping here. I'll tell you when I need slides, because I'm jumping around. Sorry. I'm not sorry. Here comes. I'm not. I mean, I'm just telling you. Okay, come on, Jacob. We are going to do the Pledge to the Flag. I think it's very appropriate on this day that we do the Pledge to the Flag. I think it's always appropriate we do the Pledge to the Flag. But I just want you to stand and without other more introduction, and do the Pledge to the Flag. Do you want to leave? Pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. How'd you feel? Was that a vain repetition? No, it's not. You've said that hundreds of times in your life, and it still has meaning for you. Okay, that's how the prayers are, too, that some would call vain repetition, that Jesus called vain repetition, because it depends on your heart, right? Depends on what you're doing in your heart. So there's some real value in those kinds of prayers. All right, let's go back to where we're supposed to be. Simple prayer. Most of the prayer in the Bible is simple prayer. I'll get you back to where I'm supposed to be there. Slide number 3. This is the prayer of Moses. He was distressed because he was having to lead these people around in the wilderness, and he was not having a good time of it. So he said to the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms? I can't carry all these people by myself. The burden's too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now if I found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." Okay. He brought his trouble honestly before the Lord, just poured it out to him. He didn't whitewash it or make it into eloquent terms. He just talked to the Lord. Simple prayer. Okay. The good thing about simple prayer is that it's available to absolutely everyone, whoever you are, whether you were born into the kingdom yesterday or you've been a Christian for decades, whether you're 2 years old and say, "Jesus," or you're 102 years old and you're still praying the rosary. Anyway, it's available for everybody. And I have another person, a young man who in our congregation, who's going to demonstrate how he can use prayer in his life, because prayer fits everywhere. Here's Chase. When Chase heard that we were doing this, he said that we were doing a prayer encounter. He said, "I'd like to do that. Would you go up on stage so they can see? Can you go up on stage? Are you going to take a knee?" He's wearing his baseball uniform because that's part of his daily life, and that's where he uses this prayer. Go ahead.
A while ago, before baseball games, me and my teammates got in a huddle, and I started telling them Bible verses. Here was my first and favorite one. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you." Joshua 1:9.
Thank you, Chase. And you do that at games?
Oh, yeah.
There are all kinds of models we should follow. There's one. So the goal in a simple prayer is to be religionless, and you've already heard about that this morning, right? Nikki wants you to have relationship, not religion. I heard Daniel and Jay, I guess, talking about relation, not religion. You know, we try to avoid religion, but it's not easy. So in communion with God, in the course that Nikki was telling you about, we try to learn to be silent before the Lord. If we're really silent, if we go and sit with him and the prayer becomes so simple that there aren't even any words. It's not that there are no props like rosaries. There are no words even. That's the simplest prayer. So we sit and we try to be silent before the Lord. Can I see what Mother Teresa says about silence? I can't read that far because I don't have my glasses on. I have to read this one. "In the silence of the heart, God speaks. If you face God in prayer and silence, God will speak to you, and then you'll know that you are nothing. It's only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, that God can fill you with himself. Souls of prayer are souls of great silence, relying on nothing, no words even. On the other hand, we have Anne of Green Gables." Next slide. Anne of Green Gables is a literary character. She's like 11 years old. She's an adopted orphan, and Marilla, the foster mother, tells her to kneel down by the bed to pray. She's teaching her how to pray. And Anne says, "Why must people kneel down to pray? If I really wanted to pray, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go out into a great big field all alone or in the deep, deep woods. I'd look up into the sky, up, up, up into that lovely blue sky that looks as if there was no end to its blueness. And then I'd just feel the prayer." Silent prayer, okay? I'll tell you what happens in silent prayer. God comes and he talks to you. And it's a marvelous, marvelous moment. You can hear him if you get yourself silent. That's the first thing that happens. Here's the second thing that happens. You fall asleep. And I know that because I've been with you and I've had to nudge you because you were snoring because the other people were trying to, right? Excuse me? And I'm not talking just to him. I mean, come on, guys. You fall asleep. If you try to be silent in the presence of the Lord and you haven't quite gotten to the presence of the Lord before you got silent, you fall asleep. Here's a third thing that happens. And I know it because it happens to me. I get silent before the Lord, and I see like a face comes before me. It'll be like my son, Andy. I see his face, and I think, he hasn't visited me in a long time. Maybe he'll come down in a couple weeks. And maybe I'll get that turkey out of the freezer that I got on sale. And yeah, that'll be good. Oh, you know, I think I'll make that cranberry salad. Does that happen to you? Do you get distracted? Okay, that happens in silent prayer because we're not real good at it, okay? Let's hear what... I hope he's next. Yeah, C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is the author of Chronicles of Narnia and lots of other good Christian books. He's a hero of the faith, my hero of the faith. He says, I still think prayer without words is best if one can really achieve it. But now I see that in trying to make it my daily bread, I was counting on greater mental and spiritual strength than I really have. To pray successfully without words, one has to be at the top of one's form. And that's why we fall asleep and we get distracted, because I'm not always at the top of my form. You know, I can be silent. I saw some of you nodding when I said that the Lord comes to you in silent prayer. I saw you nodding because he does come to you, but not every time, because you are not always at the top of your form. I see some more heads nodding over here. Okay. So, me too. I'm not always at the top of my form, so I found things to help me. I can't believe it's 11:30. Take your time. Yeah, right. Not for everybody. I'm going to show you something. Oh, my gosh. It's almost kind of embarrassing. This is my war room. I needed it. I went to see the movie War Room, and Elizabeth Jordan goes into her war room to pray. And to make a war room a place where she can really battle, she cleans out her lovely white closet. And I don't know what she did with all the stuff, but I cannot clean out my closet because I have too much stuff. And even if I could, I wouldn't fit in there because I'm an old-fashioned house with little closets. You know, I don't have a big, beautiful closet. Oh, don't show them both pictures. So this is the outside of my war room. It's in the corner of my basement. You can see my freezer there down in the right-hand corner. And on the left, the wooden thing is my mother's old china cabinet. I just moved it out from the wall a little bit. And then there's that red, white, and blue curtain. I put that up there because I needed a curtain, but because to remind me to pray for our nation this year especially. So that's my curtain. That's my doorway. And then the other thing is an old closet door that we had down there because we might put it back on Katie's door sometime, you know, so we just have that closet door in the basement. So I wedged it up between the stack of boxes and my bench. So now Lindsay's going to flip open the door, and there you see my prayer closet, my war room. And there's a bench in there. It's actually a seat that opens up. And I put it in there because there wasn't any room for it anywhere else, but it's kind of nice to have it in there. And you see my glasses and my notebook. And that little pink piece of paper is, where's Nancy? Is the prayer request you gave me for Catherine. Okay? So I just opened up. That's where it was there that day. I'm showing you this because it's not beautiful, you know. But I'm trying to tell you that everybody has some kind of room. You can make a space for yourself. You can make a space somewhere. And when I was first a Christian, like, how long ago was that? Almost 30 years. Yeah, 32. I didn't have any kind of space, and I used the picnic table. And it was special to me. I would go out in the morning so that I didn't have kids around me, had little children then, and I would sit at the picnic table. And every time God was sitting at the picnic table when I got there, because my intent was to meet with him, he was there for me. And this space is like that. It's not a nice space. It even smells a little musty because it's in my basement. But God is there. The other day, I had to go into that space, not to pray, but to get something out of that chest. And I felt like I do when I have guests in my guest room and they're using the space, and so I don't really want to go in their room and get something out of the closet. I felt like that. I was astounded. I opened the little thing and I thought, oh, excuse me, I'm just going to get something out of the chest. You know, I'll be back. I promise, I'll be back. I really felt like that. And I thought, wow. So that may seem religious. You know, that's kind of religious. Hey, I'm telling you, it works. So I have my space, and God is there, and he honors that. I love him for that. All right, so I think I've already jumped over into a little bit of religion there. Can you see that having my own space is like a prop? It's not religionless anymore. I've brought something in that, besides me and the Lord, I brought something in. I brought a space in. Okay. Foster's idea for simple prayer was that it would be religionless, meaning no props, no liturgy, no Bible. I mean, you can have the scriptural word, but not a physical Bible, because that's a sacramental thing. That's a real thing. So his idea was that it should be religionless. He experimented. For several months, he tried to be totally religionless, like not using any extra stuff, just having him and the Lord. Here's his response. I discovered that regular patterns of devotion form a kind of skeletal structure upon which I can build a muscle and tissue of unceasing prayer. Without the outward structure, my internal heart yearnings for God simply do not hold together. These regular patterns, usually called rituals, are in fact God-ordained means of grace. Okay? Sometimes we need those things. I personally need those. I am just on my own. I'm weak. I am lazy. I am tired. I am distracted. So I need things around me. I need this worship. I need songs. I need people. I need my war room. I need lots of things to keep me praying. All right. So we've moved now to sacramental prayer. Sounds like I'm saying Sacramento, like Sacramento, California. I'm saying sacramental, okay, as in sacrament. Okay. So in sacramental prayer, we have structure, organization. It's not spontaneous and intimate. It is formal. It's elevated. It has props, okay, to help us move through. The criticisms, as I've said already, that people think it's vain repetition, that you're leaning on something that's not a pure relationship, that it's archaic, it's outdated, it's all manner of things. But I find that that's only partly true. And again, we have to have simple prayer and sacramental prayer. This is the point where I was going to pledge the flag, so pretend that you've just pledged the flag, and now I'm going to have you read something that is thought of as too old, too formal, too repetitious. This is the Apostles' Creed. Okay? It's another prayer like the Lord's Prayer that you might know, but the Lord didn't write this one, right? This was written by the early apostles, okay, in the first century. Let's stand. Let's stand and read the Apostles' Creed together and see what it does for you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Okay. How'd that feel? How many thought that felt good? I hear some people, okay. Yeah, it's like the pledge. You say it over, it gets familiar. When I was looking this up to copy it, you know, cut and paste it onto this slide, I thought, well, wait a minute. What happened to the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and Son, is no less adored and glorified? That's what we said when I was a kid. Okay? That's the Nicene Creed. I did not realize that. The Nicene Creed was written about 300 years after this original Apostles' Creed, and it expands because in this version, it just says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. No clue that he's God or that he has any relationship to the Father and the Son. So that's not the only phrase that has been magnified in the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed is four times as long as the original. There's the expanded version of the Nicene Creed. Instead of just saying, I believe in the Holy Spirit, it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. So there's much more in it. But when I pray that, and I remember it from my childhood, it matters to me. One good thing about this kind of prayer is you don't even have to think. It's sort of like when you're writing something, you don't want to stop and think about where the commas go. You know, you don't even want to choose the right words, and you just want to write it down. Well, this is already written for you, so you can just think about the words. You know, you don't have to make them up. So it kind of is an advantage, or some people say it's a disadvantage. It actually often works as an advantage. All right, so I think we're going to stop there as it's 11:30 and move into prayer. We got to do this prayer today. You're going to see there's the Seven Mountains of Culture again. If the people that are praying would come up, take your places. We are actually, this is kind of a demonstration, but it's also real prayer. So we need you now to join in this prayer mentally. I mean, you're not going to know what they're saying, so you can't speak it. But join in it, you know, with your heart. We're actually praying for our nation here because we need this culture to change. We need to pray about these mountains of culture in our country. So, are you going to give us some background music? Okay. So they're just going to take their turns, no space between them, and you're going to see on the overhead what mountain we're praying for and who the people are. And then it's just going to tell you a word or two about the type of prayer that's being done. I didn't want to announce them because I didn't want to interrupt the flow of prayer. We're really praying now. Okay, so, but you'll be able to see what it is. The only one I want to tell you about is the one that Brandon Nickish is doing. It's called Crafted Prayer, and it kind of jumps over into sacramental where it's actually a written prayer. I didn't want you to think that he didn't prepare, and so he had to read his. His is supposed to be read, okay? It's a prayer that was intentionally crafted, and it's meant to be read daily or more often than that, however you need it. You know, you could make a crafted prayer and then use it. So he's delivering one of those. You guys need a microphone? You got it? Good job. Okay, here we go. Lord, I just welcome you to come and be in this presentation of prayer and in our heartfelt prayers to you about our culture, Lord. We know we are in darkness, that we have done so many things that offend you. And we are beseeching you on behalf of our culture, Lord, to come and heal us. We give you these prayers, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Okay. Ethan, would you pray to ask God to help children listen to their mommies and daddies? And I also want you to say one thing you're thankful for, okay? One thing you're thankful for and pray. Listen to mommies and daddies. Can you do that? Dear God. Dear God. Okay, Nathan, would you pray that? Help children listen to mommies and daddies.
Help children, dear Jesus, please help children to listen to their mommies and daddies. And thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Alex. Alex, would you ask God to help parents to love their children? And I want you to say one thing you're thankful for, okay?
Dear Jesus, please help the parents to love their children. And thank you that we have animals to love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, Shauna, would you ask for moms and dads to be able to hear from God? And I want one thing you're thankful for.
Dear God, please help moms and dads to be able to hear from God, and thank you for giving us breath.
Samantha, would you pray to ask them God to help daddies to be good leaders in their households? And one thing you're thankful for.
Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you
for everything you've given us. Please help daddies to be good leaders in their families so that their children can grow up strong and servants of you. Thank you that we have a great big church to come together every Sunday. Amen.
Mommy, would you pray for families?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for families. Thank you, Father.
And God, we thank you for today. Lord, we do ask that you would strengthen the families in America, that you would strengthen the strengthen families against the attacks that have come against us recently, Lord God, from the new definitions of a family that has been made and the things that have been allowed in our country. Lord, we ask that you would roll them back, that you would once again make families the foundation block of our country, that you would instill parents with wisdom and love for you, Lord God, that they will be able to bestow that on their kids and that the kids' hearts will be turned towards their parents and able to listen. We thank you, God, and praise you for being in control, and we thank you that all glory and honor goes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job, guys.
O Lord, our Father, we look at the American marketplace and we see our great need for renewal. We lift to you all those who work in the sciences, medicine, retail, services, management, hotels, restaurants, and all businesses. We pray that your servants in the marketplace will walk in integrity, that they will be humble, faithful, and righteous in all their ways. You have said that when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices, and that through the blessings of the righteous, the city is exalted. Father, raise up righteous people in your marketplaces that our cities would be blessed. Lord, remind all those in the marketplace that is you, the Lord our God, who gives us the ability to produce wealth. We pray that your people would be free from the love of money and will seek to build God's kingdom first, seeking to walk in righteousness so that everything they need will be provided. We pray that the marketplace men and women will use honest scales and measurements and practices when dealing with customers and clients. By this, they will do well and be rich in good works, generous and willing to share. We pray that those who become rich in this present world will not be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in you, our Father, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Lord, walk among those in the marketplace. Prosper those who will serve you, that your name may be blessed and our land be healed.
Father God, you have challenged us that all supplication and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and those who are in authority over us, that we might live a peaceable and quiet life in reverence and godliness. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are a nation that has turned its back on you, and every man is doing what is right in his own eyes. We are desperately in need of your redemption. But we know that you redeem nations just as you redeem people. We remember that you redeemed the nation of Israel time and time again when they hardened their heart against you. You even redeemed the nation of Nineveh, a godless nation, when they repented and turned from their wicked ways. You have called us in Chronicles that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that you would hear in heaven, you would forgive our sin, and you would heal the land. Father, I pray that you would forgive our nation of our sins of pride, arrogance, our sins of idolatry, sins of violence, racism, murder, and hatred, sins of abortion, where over 1 million babies are murdered every year in America. That you'd forgive us the sin of immorality, infidelity, adultery, homosexuality. That you would forgive us our sins of greed, lies, deception. We have sinned against you and you alone. and we ask for your forgiveness. You give us the leaders that we deserve in our government, in our churches, in our homes. But we pray, Lord, according to your word, that everything in the heavens and the earth is yours, O God, and this is your kingdom. We adore you for being in control of everything. You are the ruler of all mankind, and your hand controls power and might. Riches and honor come from you alone. Your hand controls power and might, and is at your discretion. Men are made great and given strength. And Lord, we believe and we thank you for being in control of everything, of our government, of our leaders. You are faithful. If we do our part and pray, you have promised to do your part. And we are challenged to stand in the gap and intercede. So, Father, we pray for our government, especially at this time when we are faced with so many challenges as a nation and with a government where so many do wicked things and they do not honor you. We pray for all of the people who are running for elected office this fall. We pray you would turn the hearts of both candidates, that they would humble themselves, that they would repent of their wicked ways, and they would seek your face, that they would follow the Lord Jesus Christ and lead this nation accordingly, that you would give us godly senators, representatives, mayors, governors, legislators, commissioners, councilmen, that you would give us godly judges in the Supreme Court, the federal courts, the appeals courts, the district courts, the circuit courts, that you would give us godly leaders in every level of government in this land. We desperately need you, and we put our trust in you. Amen.
Oh, Father God, we ask for your presence. We ask for your presence. We ask for your safety, for our students, for our schools, for you to come back into our schools again, Lord. Lord, we ask you right now, we ask you to stand with all of us that are teachers, that are your children. We ask right now that you stand with your students that are your children, that we can speak out. We can speak your clarity with everything that's going on in the government right now. Lord, they're changing things that we are teaching. They're changing things that we need, that the way we're being guided. We're asking for you to come back, to return to the way we need to go. Father, I ask for strength that we can stand. As we are teaching, that we can be the peace, that there, when there is no safety for our children, that you give us when the anxiety that our children are coming up, even as pre-Kers, they're coming to school with anxiety, they're coming to school with pain, and that we can turn your light, your grace for them. Father, we just ask right now that you will shine in your school, Lord, that you have put people in places. That's why we have the National Day of Prayer. That's why students go to the flag to show that we want you back in our country. We want you back in our school. That we want you back in us knowing the Ten Commandments, of us knowing who you are. That we can, that the Bible is not just a book, that it is life. And then we ask for that now. Father, right now we just come. We come and lay down our pride. Because as a nation, in our education and in our government, we go wherever the government goes. and we lay down our pride, we lay down our issues, and ask for your guidance. Ask for the wisdom of what needs to be taught in our science classes. Ask for the wisdom of not changing our history books. Ask for the wisdom of not changing what's written in the health classes. Ask for the wisdom of what family should look like and what people should, what we are, how you created us. That you return us, that you gave us not. You gave us our gifts. You gave us our talents. We ask for that to be returned to you. And that we thank you for the science and the technology, but we ask that that is not a hindrance against us either. We ask that you show us how we can return to you. We ask that right now.
Merciful, mighty Lord, actors, writers, athletes, musicians, singers, and artists seem to have a special and influential place in the eyes of the world today. I pray that your servants in this area and entertainment will work in integrity, humility, faithfulness, and righteousness, and will be filled with your knowledge in all ways. Lord, I pray that you will call and anoint people who will produce entertainment that displays godly lifestyles, behaviors, and values in the movie industry. Raise up a generation of athletes that have a heart for you and aren't afraid to show who they are to the world. Raise up designers and artists who are filled with the Spirit of God and are able to teach others. I pray, Lord, that you release resources to artists who faithfully produce work that brings you glory. Lord, I pray that you would cause a great distaste of ungodly values among society, especially among our precious youth, Lord. Lord, create a hunger beyond measure of godly virtues to be displayed in all that they do, so that everything they produce will be of you, Lord. Bless those like my precious nephew, Nathan, who have chosen to go to school at a Christian college, who have chosen to stay on the right path in the areas of entertainment. Guide them and protect their hearts, Lord. I pray you would use our sons and daughters to create works that cause people to rejoice in the Lord. Bring up your children to create work that causes the peace of God to arise within men and women every day. I pray this peace will pass all of human understanding, a peace that keeps hearts and minds focused on Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the works of all your entertainers cause viewing audiences to focus on all things true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and that beyond measure, that they will be a testimony that stays in the hearts of our people. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, I lift up the church. I lift up your church. I thank you, God, for the church. I thank you for each and every believer in this room, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you told us in your word that if we, your people who believe you, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves, that you will hear our prayers from heaven and heal our land. Lord, I thank you that there's a solution in the earth. It's called the church. And we don't have to operate by popular demand. We don't even have to have a consensus. The words that everyone who calls on your name, if we seek you, if we humble ourselves, if we turn around and do what you've called us to do, you will heal this land. Father God, I thank you for the Church Universal. I thank you for volunteers. I thank you for missionaries. I thank you for apostles. I thank you for evangelists, pastors, teachers, those who go out full-time and do those things. I thank you for those of us who get to go part-time and do those things. I thank you, God, that in our workplace, wherever we work, that we look for God-ordained opportunities to tell about you, to teach about you, to talk about you, God, that we share that testimony with those who are around us. And we don't do it in a pushy way. We just talk matter of fact about the God we love. We're told in the word that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That means we are scheduled for victory. Thank you, God, for victory. Thank you for the church in the earth. Thank you, God, that we get to be a part of that. I pray for every person that has asked Christ into their life, that you will ignite their purpose, ignite that passion in them. Let them know that it's all right to do exciting things in the name of God, that those are things that he's put in our hearts that we can pursue. Thank you, God. And you said when you give us a vision, you give us provision. Those dreams that we think are too large, that we can't do on our own, we can't. But as we obey you, you will send the people, you will send the provision, you will send all that we need. I thank you, God, for every member, and I pray our strength in the battle, because some of our battle is just in our mind. First thing in the morning, we need to know that we are chosen of God. We need to know that the Holy Spirit is in us, that we are greater than any problem that we will face today. We need to know that we win. We win in the end, and we win every day as long as we seek you, Lord. We seek you, Lord, by speaking to you. We seek you, Lord, by listening for you. We seek you, Lord, by reading your word. We seek you, Lord, by talking to others about you, because we have the power of life and death in our tongue. So the things that we talk about are magnified. So help us, Lord, to tell about you, to teach about you, to talk about you. And we thank you, mighty God, for the victory that is certain in you. Thank you, God.
Father God, I thank you today for the media that is in this country, Lord. Lord, I thank you that in all forms and in all areas, Lord, that you have gateways and portals opened up, Lord, that can shape the conversation of the people in this land. Lord, I ask that you would just activate those that are your sons and your daughters that are working in all aspects of the media right now, Lord, that you would strengthen them and encourage them, Lord, give them boldness, give them willingness, give them strength, Lord, to speak about you, to change the conversation from where it has been, Lord, negatively, Lord, and put it positively, Lord, onto you. Lord, help them to draw our hope towards you, Lord, not into man's solutions, but to your solutions, Father. Lord, I ask that they would raise you up, Lord, that they would speak about things that haven't been spoken about in a long time, Lord. Lord, that they would be legitimate in what they say, that they be truthful, that they be people of integrity, Lord, as they stand in your word, Lord, in firmness. And they would not back down, Lord Jesus, but would stand in strength and resolution. I thank you, Father. Lord, let them realize that the power of life and death is in their tongues, Lord. They would speak life. They'd speak life into the darkness. They'd speak life into death. They'd speak life into the hurt and the pain that's going on in our country right now as we speak, Lord Jesus. Lord, the intercultural things that we have going on in our country only are resolved in you. And Lord, we ask that the media would be able to draw attention to you, to bring healing into those places. I thank you, Father. I ask that you would give them wonderful visions of what you would like to bring forth, Lord, things that you want our country talking about, things that you want us ruminating our minds upon, Lord, and not just needless blather. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for everything that you have done there, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would reign in victory over that place, Lord. In those spaces, Lord Jesus. In the news, Lord. In the blogosphere, Lord. Lord, in our tweets. And Lord, in our movies and in our theater and in our art, Lord. In our music. Lord, touch every aspect of the media and our culture, Lord. And change it. I ask that we would see a shift to things being uplifting, Lord Jesus, in you. I thank you, Father, and we just speak victory here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Oh, I'd like to talk with you about that. I hope you will talk with each other about that. I just have three more people. Oh, my goodness, it's noon. I just have three things I want to say to you. I'll do them quickly. One is that if you're like me and you need somebody around you to pray, or you need some kind of help to keep yourself on track, get a prayer partner. Jane Majeski and I have been prayer partners for over 30 years. We pray almost every morning on the phone at 6:30. And we did that every day when our children were younger. Now sometimes we miss. But that's invaluable. Find somebody that you can pray with. Second, build yourself a war room. I'll help you. Also, another prop that I always use, I write it mostly for myself. It's called SOAP. It's a system of studying the scriptures and praying, applying them to your life. It's in a little folder on the back on the counter out there. Those are there every Sunday for you, and they're also online on the website. Look under resources, it says SOAP. This week's is on another one of Foster's types of prayer. It's on intercessory prayer. It's in that little basket. Usually you see them on the table. I do that because I need it. It's good for me, and I'm sharing it with you. Okay. So those are invitations. Third invitation for women only, Wednesday nights we pray here at 7 o'clock. So if you'd like to come and join us for prayer, the people on the stage are the people that I pray with. And it's a wonderful thing to have someone to pray with. God bless you. I'm sorry it took so long, but I hope it mattered to somebody. It did to me. Thank you.
Let's just give another round of applause to Molly, just an appreciation for what she's brought forward here today. Thank you, Molly. How many of you are blessed by what you experienced here today? Raise your hand. I know I certainly was. That was powerful. You know, we're a people that pray, and we're people that need to pray more. And Molly's given us some excellent resources. And just hopefully what you walk out of here with today is it doesn't matter how you pray. God just wants to hear you. He wants your heart to be inclined toward Him. So whether you need something that's going to bring structure into your life or you just need to just talk to Him about whatever, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, and it changes throughout your week, just talk to your Father and listen to what He's going to say back. And then be obedient to do what He tells you. But have your heart inclined towards Him. Father, we just thank You so much for this day. We thank You for what You've brought forward this day, Lord. And we just thank You for getting to know You in a new way. Lord, let these things come alive in us in a new way. Lord, we ask that we would step into a deeper place with You right now, Lord. From this day forward, Lord, let us recognize that there are new things that we can do in You, and that's an exciting adventure. We thank You, Father. In Your name we pray. Amen. Be blessed. Snacking and yakking out here in the lobby. Have a great week. God bless you all.